This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kunnison with Noel Lim and Kusa Chuang in the studio. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Dato' Michael Kang, President of the SME Association of Malaysia, on the impact of the stimulus package on the SMEs. And actually, right now, we're running a poll on Twitter. What's the best way to help SMEs survive the COVID-19 pandemic? Let us know over on Twitter at BFM Radio. But in the meantime, let's talk about rubber gloves. Personal protective equipment, or otherwise known as PPE, is the current acronym referring to items such as masks, rubber gloves, and face shields that are desperately needed by medical frontliners and others that are frequently exposed to the COVID-19 virus in their occupation. So it's definitely bad news when the world's biggest rubber glove manufacturer producer warns of a possibility of chronic shortage due to restriction on production.
Malaysia produces around 65% of the world's rubber gloves, so we are obviously a critical producer. So I think the point here, we may have enough for Malaysia, but not for the world.
Yes, and to highlight the issue a little further, we have we speak to Dennis Lau, President of the Malaysian Rubber Gloves Association, Manufacturers Association, for an industry perspective on the state of global rubber glove supply. Thank you for joining us on the line this morning, Dennis. You've sounded the alarm for a potential chronic global shortage of medical rubber gloves. What are the warning signs you are seeing?
As the coronavirus rampages across the world, the only thing that can control or contain and suppress the virus from spreading are only four things: rubber gloves, face masks, sanitizers, and of course, surgical gowns as well. There is no known vaccine in the world to cure this virus, and the only thing to do now is to prevent the thing from spreading is by donning all this protective equipment. So the world will buy more and more gloves simply because there is a lot of people wanting more gloves due to this virus. Hospitals are short of gloves, and we are actually being warned, asked by the World Health Organization to ramp up our capacity in order to meet the demand of the world. We are doing so, and we believe that this year, Malaysia should be able to supply something about 220 to 230 billion pieces of gloves to the world.
Yeah, essential services have been given leeway to operate during the MCO, including the manufacturing of medical supplies like gloves. What are the conditions of operation for rubber glove makers?
In the beginning, I think those exempted and under the essential items are allowed to operate at 50% of their capacity. We have had a meeting with YB Senior Minister Afin Ali, and together with the MITI team of Secretary General and the Deputy Secretary General, and all of them have been very proactive, and they want us to operate at optimum. We will manage, and we will be able to produce more gloves, given the resources that we have, given the kind of numbers that we are having, to supply to firstly Malaysia and then to the world.
It seems, it's quite urgent that you are able to ramp up production quickly. So how quickly will you be able to, bump up your production from the current 50%?
Many months ago, we already started that. We already started ramping up production in February itself, when the virus has become more serious. And taking the request from World Health Organization and looking at the world, hospitals and the medical people, they are asking us to produce more, and we will produce more to meet the demand. Way back in 2010, 2011, during that period, H1N1 occurred, and the glove industry was besieged with lots and lots of orders and demand. And during that year alone, we saw that the glove demand went up by 17%. That's a lot of gloves to be produced. So we already told our members to ramp up their capacity, to do whatever they can to ensure adequate supply to the world.
What are the alternative sources of rubber gloves other than Malaysia, which we understand supplies 65% of gloves in the world?
Okay, Thailand is another supplier at about 18%, and China is another supplier. Now, China is totally out. There is no gloves coming up from China because even for their own consumption, it's not enough. So therefore, the supply from China will be not coming out from China to the world at all. And we have to do our duty. And it is a very heavy duty because the demand is now overstripping our supply.
So how do you see the demand-supply imbalance affecting prices?
The cost has gone up tremendously. There is shortage of certain materials and the price has gone up. And if you look at the stringent regulations imposed by MITI on people who are exempted to produce critical products, there is a lot of regulation that needs a lot of money to fulfill. Certain things like face masks to be given to our workers, surgical gowns to be given to our workers, sanitizers, disinfectant of the factory space and office space. So all these are a lot of money to be expended out. And in view of the higher cost, definitely the selling price would have increased as well. Not forgetting that the supply services people, they are also facing the same kind of situation as us. Overtime become more critical and hardship allowances have to be given out as well. So there will be additional cost. Additional cost means a higher selling price, definitely.
Earlier, I noticed you said optimum capacity rather than full capacity. Could you explain what this means?
We will run at optimum. We will produce as much as we can, as we possibly can, and hoping that there won't be any other interruptions to our industry in terms of supply of material. If everything is in order, we will be able to produce the 220 to 230 billion pieces that we must produce this year to the world. Anything more than that can be a big, big challenge because we may not have that kind of capacity to do so. We are able to do only what we can do up to a maximum of perhaps 240 million pieces. But as I said before, the world may just shoot up to maybe 30% increase in consumption because of the virus.
So what kind of supply interruptions could occur?
A classic example is that, just a few days ago, we hear a total lockdown of Kluang. And Kluang is where latex, synthetic rubber latex has been produced. One of the big factories is there. Fortunately, it didn't pan out to be like it has to be a total lockdown. And we are still able to get the supply. Such can be the situation in the future. Nobody knows. Because this virus has got no mercy for anybody.
Dennis, thank you for joining us on the line this morning. That was Dennis Lau, president of MARGMA, the Malaysian Association of Rubber Glove Manufacturers, Manufacturers Association. So MARGMA estimates that about 330 billion pieces of rubber gloves could be needed globally this year. And MARGMA supplies 65% of that figure at around 220 to 230 billion pieces. Talk about a concentration risk right there.
So MARGMA also said that production costs could rise 25 to 30% due to some of these MCO restrictions. Of course, understandably, the restrictions are there so that we do the social distancing and, flatten the curve. But it obviously, it's affecting business and also affecting the supply of very essential items, right? Medical items. I think, executive chairman of Top Glove, Lim Wee Chai, told Reuters that orders received in the past few weeks, mainly from Europe and the US, were almost double the company's what they can do. I mean, their company's production capacity.
Yeah, just to highlight a breakfast grill I did last week, actually, with Alex Capri of the National University of Singapore Business School. We were talking about global supply chains and how he sees it changing going forward is localization. He thinks localization is going to be key, especially for essential and vital components. Things like protective equipment, like national security, like semiconductors. So he thinks that's how global value chains are going to fragment going forward, which, 65% of the supply coming from one place is a significant risk.
Yeah, and also I think technology, 3D printing, and maybe one day hospitals will be able to just print gloves that they need in their hospital premises.
Yeah, so we were talking earlier between the 6 or 7 about things that the COVID-19 pandemic highlights. And one is the importance of the healthcare system, and two, the things that going back to life as we knew it may not be as we knew it. The other one is this, it's the supply chain. We saw supply shock when China shut down, and then some services were disrupted. And now we're seeing another supply chain sort of get disrupted. And Alex pointed out that he was talking about how 80% of ingredients for pharmaceuticals, for prescription drugs, are done in China. So if anything happens there, and we now know that it is possible for something to happen.
Well, we know that, right? I mean, the other two sources for rubber gloves are Thailand and China. And Thailand is minimal, China is slightly more. Their supply chains have completely broken down. People have not returned to work. And even though the world needs things like surgical gloves and surgical gowns and face masks, it might not get to the markets in time.
Yeah, and these are the questions that are going to have to eventually be answered, and how we see localization and fragmentation in the supply chain plays out. Now, if you want to listen to that conversation, you can find that on the BFM app or Spotify. Just look up Alex Capri or National University of Singapore Business School. Up next, we'll be speaking to Jayati Ghosh, an economist with the Jawaharlal Nehru University, on India's battle against COVID-19. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.